Today, we want to take a deep look inside of ourselves and ask some hard questions. Do you find yourself feeling helpless? Alone? Do you view the world as happening to you? Or do you see what's happening for you? Does it seem the world is against you? No one understands. No one seems to want to help you, and for some reason, nothing is going your way. These are a few of the topics we address in this podcast. We take a deep dive look inside ourselves and uncover the power we tend to give away to others and our circumstances. And our final question for you is, have you started your journey towards growth, fulfillment, and joy? If not, do you want to? If your answer is yes, welcome to You Already Are. Welcome to You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson, and this is my co-host,
Michael Gardner.
Thank you for joining us today. We are going to talk about some hard subjects, but also some very important subjects. Michael, you were just talking about accountability, and you said something about finding greater peace through accountability. And you said you can't have peace with yourself or in your heart with a victim mindset, with you constantly believing that you're a victim of your circumstances or your situation. So will you expound on that a little bit more?
Sure. Being a victim is not about circumstances. And let me clarify. You may have somebody hit you, your car, and they went through a red light. And so you could say, yeah, I'm a victim. They hit my car. But they hit it, past tense. If you are a victim of them, or you feel you're a victim of them, then you are, first of all, relinquishing all power of how you feel about things to someone else, and you're allowing them to control you. Now, they don't know they control you. You just believe you're a victim of them. And life will never change because victims go through life bitter, angry, cautious, shut down, and basically with a big shield around themselves. And their come from is, in other words, when I say come from, what's driving them is, I don't want to be a victim, which only invites more victimness to it. So if you're looking for peace, a lot of times with victims, they'll say, I'll be at peace when this changes or this changes or this changes, of which they have no control over. So they're basically giving control of their life and their peace to something outside of them. And, you know, that may or may not change, but even if it does, a victim mindset will look for something else to be a victim of. And they have all justifications and that. So they can never be at peace because some part of them basically inside is saying, I can't be at peace. So let me find a reason to justify my lack of peace. In a nutshell. Now, I don't know. There's probably people that could listen to that and get very, very triggered, in which I would say, why does that trigger you? What is it about you that it hit a nerve in you? And that's kind of what I do as a coach. I kind of hit on those things that people are sensitive about, because a lot of times they don't realize that they are not consciously aware of those trigger points in them, or me or you or whoever, and they don't realize how much effect those things have on them or me or you.
I wanted to expand on that a little bit. So when I introduced this concept to a couple of people that I know, and even when it was introduced to me, it can be hard to realize that or accept that you're the reason that you're not happy or that you're not at peace. And that's a really tough pill to swallow, especially when you have various things in your life like, oh, that person makes me so unhappy. And if only that person would change, then I would be happy. Like, I think this comes up a lot in marriage. It's like, well, if this person was different, I would be so much happier. And if only this person just changed, then I could be happy. Well, or you could be happy now and with or without that person, you know, like, yes, you want to be happy in your marriage, but that person shouldn't be deciding whether or not you are happy. Am I kind of going the right direction?
Yeah. So if you're living with another person and they say something, you say, that offends me. I used to get that all the time when I was doing training. So you offended me. It's like, well, I don't have the power to offend you. I do have the power to say something that may hit a nerve in you or you choose to be offended by it, but let's look at why. It is a challenge for people to get that because, yeah, no, it's not me, it's you. You said that and that. Like, for example, I have a brother that's very, I'd say 380 pounds. He's fat. So if somebody says he's fat and he gets triggered, it's because A, he knows he's fat, or B, he knows he's fat and he's not okay with it. And so that person that said you're fat didn't reveal some big secret. They just observed something. And if he's offended, it's his choice because something in him is not okay with being fat. Something in him is not okay with his size. So instead of looking at that other person and saying, shut up, don't say that again, whereas he's still living being fat and not okay with it, but at least that person isn't saying anything. He gets to take steps, either be okay with being the size he is or doing something about it, which my brother finally is. Anyway, so he can choose to be offended or he can look at why and then decide if he's okay with it, then somebody can say he's fat and he won't care.
It's one of those acceptance things of just like, well, it is what it is.
Yes.
And accepting it doesn't mean that you can't change it or that you're relinquishing all power. You're just saying, okay, well, that's just how it is. I really want to emphasize, I don't know why, I just feel like I really have to emphasize marriage because you married somebody, right? And you have to understand that you can't change that person. Only that person can change who they are or what they do. You can, you know, it's kind of one of those, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And I just feel like so often marriages become unhappy because you're blaming the other person. Oh, it's always the other person's fault. If only my wife was more understanding, I have to work a job, you know, if only my husband would understand I'm exhausted taking care of kids because if only he would do the dishes sometimes. It's little things like that, but it can build up to greater and greater things. And it's when we realize, whoa, we are a player in this. It's not all on that other person. We are a player in this. We can decide whether or not we're going to be happy, and we can decide what we want our relationship to be like. If we work on ourselves and we say, hey, these are some things I can change. These are some ways that I can view my relationship differently. That's taking steps towards a healthier relationship. And that's taking steps towards the change and the relationship that you want. Again, you can't change the other person. So if you're being abused and you're being used and all of these things, you can't change the other person, but you can change yourself. And if you get to the point where it's like, well, I don't want that person in my life anymore because I don't need them to be dragging me down in a way, then that's the conclusion you get to. And I'm sure, Michael, you have some experience in this.
A little bit.
You've been married 3 times. So, and I'll be honest, I am curious about that because you are a life coach. You've been a life coach mm-hmm. for 20 years, right?
30 years,
excuse me. So what, I hope this isn't too personal.
Go ahead.
But what happened in those marriages that you feel like, were you feeling like you were taking accountability for yourself in those marriages?
I'd say no. There were things I knew were off, but there were elements of me that usually when we don't go into something with somebody, it's because we're afraid we cannot handle it or afraid it's too big for us. And I had those moments where I didn't say anything, or I had moments where I did say something, it ended up being an argument. So, but the times I didn't say anything, it was because I would rather be right that there's something wrong with her than to get what I want, which is a happy marriage, or just necessarily a happy marriage, but a fulfilling, connected, honest, loving relationship. I actually find that sometimes happiness gets in the way of honesty. So no, I wasn't always being accountable. And you know, you got to be careful with this though, because people will look at it and say, well, if you've been doing this 30 years and you're not accountable, why should I? Because what I do doesn't change your life. It's for you. It's for me to look at my own self. And I would say, you know, I learned the lessons. I'm learning the lessons. But if somebody wants to discount this because I'm somebody who is still working on it, they can be right too. That's a bunch of crap, and they're not going to change anything in their life. So be careful on that one. I don't mind sharing some dirty laundry, but if you use it as a backdoor to back out on your own self, the only one that is being hurt is you and maybe others in your family. But here's the thing on accountability. There is absolutely no blame. None. because when we blame, we do not learn and we perpetuate. So if I blame myself that, oh yeah, I deserve it, I'm stupid, I'm trash, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm just going to be right about what I already believe. But if we look at it and say, what were the choices I made and what was going on inside of me? Why did I make those choices? So that I can learn from that. Sometimes we do things just because we want to be mad. I don't know if you've ever had this. I doubt it because you're perfect. But where you expect the other person to react a certain way. Let's say I crunch the fender of a car. I'm expecting my wife to be angry. You know my wife, that's probably not going to happen. But you don't know my other wife. And that would happen. And I would expect her to be angry. And I'm getting all worked up and ready. I've got my defenses up so that when she comes and attacks me for being stupid or whatever she would say, and she would say stupid, but she comes home and she says, what happened? I said, I got in a wreck. And she says, oh, now I'm even more upset because she didn't do what I thought she was going to do. So I will attack her. Not physically. I'm just saying, so what are you thinking? And she says, nothing. No. What are you thinking? I want to know. I know you're thinking something. And she's really like, no, I just, yeah, it happens. I don't know what to do with that because she's not being predictable. So I get even more upset, more frustrated, and I feel more out of control, if you get what I'm saying. So accountability is not blaming somebody or setting expectations or this. It's looking at choices and decisions we make and not worrying about what somebody else is going to say because we don't know what they're going to say. We don't know what they're going to do. What did I think? Did I ignore some things? Like maybe I was going through a light that was yellowish and I just assumed all the cars on the other way at the intersection were stopped. You know, maybe I had a feeling. Look both ways before I go through this light. What did I deny? Maybe there were all kinds of red flags that were warning me of something. But you have to do it through a neutral space because if you have any blame, you're only seeing it through eyes that will interpret it to validate what you think you already know about life. I worked at a corporation, and if something went wrong, they'd say, okay, we're going to hold somebody accountable. You know what that meant? Somebody's going to get fired or get punished or get lectured by the boss. It had nothing to do with accountability. First of all, you can't hold somebody accountable. You can be accountable, but you can't hold them accountable because then you're being a victim of them because you have an expectation.
I have a couple of things. So I have a story to share. Because I had a very big shift, like a big paradigm shift when I learned this accountability. And I will tell you, I've read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People probably half a dozen times. And sometimes I would get a breakthrough here and there, but I never fully grasped the responsibility part that he talks about. He talks about being response-able, knowing that there is a spot where there was stimuli that was put into your body, you know, whether it was all your senses receive the stimuli, and there's a pause and a break before you can respond to that stimuli. And you have a choice when you have that break. And so he explained it really well, but I never really fully grasped that concept with all aspects of my life. And a lot of times I think I would get into denial, which I feel like a lot of people get into that. Like, no, that's not true. That's not true because this person did this to me, right? They did this to me, so I'm mad. They made me mad. Ah, that's like the language, right? Nobody can make you anything. You are choosing to be mad. Anyways, so this accountability, I had a very intense session with my mentor and he talked about knowing that I have a choice in things, that I have a choice in the matter. Now, let me take you back a couple years when we lived in South Carolina still. Remington was working full-time at the Navy. He was 60 plus hours for the Navy. And I was going to school full-time and he decided he was going to start a business while he was in the Navy working 60 hours. And my automatic response was, what the heck? Why are you starting a business right now? I will tell you, Michael and listeners, that it was a struggle of a year for us. I was angry all the time because I felt like he was never available, never there for his kids, never there for me, and I put the blame all on him. It's all his fault. What the heck, Remy? Like, why are you doing this? He didn't have to build a business while he was in the Navy. So it wasn't great for me. And I went to therapy and I tried to go have us go through couples therapy thinking, oh, he needs to fix all these things because this is all his fault. And neither of us were feeling supported. It wasn't a great time. Well, I had this session with my mentor and I realized that I was unhappy because I had these expectations of Remington that were not being met. And because I was choosing to be unhappy in this situation. Let me tell you, he hired a nanny for me full time so that I could go to school. And he worked really hard and he built his business up enough so that when we moved here to St. George, Utah, he could work from home. And so he does work from home. And now he has a very successful business. And in addition, he was making a lot of investments that would allow us to have some passive income and things like that. So I saw it only from my side and my biases, and my expectations were not being met, and I was just angry. And I realized through this session with my mentor, like, whoa, I didn't have to be angry. I was in tears when I made this realization. Like, I could have chosen to be happy because I couldn't change Remington. What he was doing, I couldn't change that because it was something that he chose. It was his choice. But I could change how I felt about it. And I could say, I'm fine. I can be happy. He can work that much. I can be happy. My kids have a father who loves them. I know that. He is providing for us. That's his whole goal in life, is to take care of us. And this is how he feels like he needs to do that. And just seeing it from a different perspective and knowing that I made some choices and I was responsible for my misery. I was responsible for my unhappiness. And I could have decided, I'm going to be happy regardless of how much I see Remington, regardless of how much. And perhaps that would invite him to want to spend more time with me, because he will tell you that every time I would have this conversation with him, it would make him want to be around me less. And so it was just like this constant vicious cycle of we keep fighting about the same thing and he wants less and less to do with me, you know? But anyways, that's all in the past now. And I realized that I was making myself miserable and I wasn't taking accountability for my side of our relationship and really and my happiness, because I was putting all of my happiness and all of the responsibility on him. It was like, well, if he doesn't do this, I can't be happy and I'm really unhappy now and it's his fault. Well, no, it's my fault. I'm choosing to be unhappy, and that's a hard pill to swallow. And I'll tell you, it's a hard concept that I don't have quite the right words to get across, because so many people are going to say no. What about people who are, I'm being so used and I'm getting emotionally abused. Well, And that's not on me, right? And it's like, well, you're right. You can't change who is doing that to you, but you can change yourself. And you can decide, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be a part of that anymore.
Yeah, it's the question I would ask somebody in that situation. Why do you allow it? What is it about you that you feel you deserve it? And don't think people threw that back at me, but it was a legitimate question because, you know, patterns. I would dare say that when Remington was going to start this business, last week I talked about visualization a little bit and said you visualize all the time. Immediately, you had a vision of how everything's going to go to heck if this happens. You visualize that, and that was your reality based on past experiences. You visualize the future. You bring that into the now. And you miss the now because you're so busy in the future predicting what's going to happen that you're miserable now. And so the question there is, do I want to be right or do I want to get what I want? Well, what do I want? That's the big question. What do I want? Do I want
it? I think we should really highlight that. You're giving up what you want for being right. Do you want to be right or do you want to get what you want? I think that's really quite the little golden nugget there, Michael.
If I crunched the fender and my wife wasn't upset, well, I was expecting her to be upset. So when she wasn't, I wasn't getting what I want. So I had exacerbated the situation by pushing to the point where she chose to get upset. And I'm like, all right, I won. But we have a bit, we visualize all the time, and our visualization is a message to us of where we are with ourselves. Are we running by fear? And I would bet you had a fear there. The family's going to fall apart. It's all going to fall on me. I can't do it. I'm overwhelmed. And then you go vomit all that on Remington, and you wonder why he doesn't want to be around you so much. Not that he's perfect. Probably does some things too. I'm just saying you volunteered that. You know, I vomited all over my wife, so to speak, because she wasn't mad at me, and I expected her to be mad, and she ruined it. So, you know, one, that's why visualizing what you desire, how you like your life to be, is so important, because as you visualize it, just as you were visualizing your life with Remington doing two jobs and how it was going to be, that was reality. And you were throwing that into yourself, connecting with all that. So you got to visualize. You don't have to. It's a discipline to learn and consciously visualize for at least 15 minutes a day, put on some music or whatever. The thing is, I would invite that we don't even fault anybody. We look at it neutrally. This happens, and it's not about fault or blame. It's about what can I learn from this so that it doesn't repeat itself. And I kind of gave an example last week, like, I don't know if Remington runs into this, but he's asking people to invest money. Bound to get somebody who's invested money before and they lost the money. So their whole lesson is never invest money again. Throw it all in the bank. Maybe that's not the lesson. Maybe the lesson is be more conscious of what you're doing. Do a little background check, this or this or this. But what really is the lesson? So in that one, I'm going to ask you, what is the lesson for you that you're learning as a result of an experience like that? That's a great example of how you run away with what you believe and then you hit that person with it and they don't even know why. What started out as a little teeny thought was like, bam! What? So if something like that happened again, that little tape starts running, how would you handle it differently?
I'll tell you that even now that we've lived here and he doesn't work for the Navy, I will get caught up in how much he works a lot, because he still works a lot. And I have like gotten into rewriting the script, rewriting my story, rewriting my feelings about what he does. And a lot of times it's turning to gratitude. And we talked about this last time, but I start thinking about, what am I grateful for? I start thinking about, like, I'm grateful that he can provide for our family and that we have the home that we have and all of those things. And then when I am upset, one thing that Remington and my mentor are trying to help me remember is to think about the thoughts that are in my head, the emotions that I'm feeling, and just, one, neutralize them, and two, be like a curious observer, like, oh, wow, why am I feeling this way? You know, like, oh, you're feeling angry. Okay, that's okay. Why are you feeling angry? What is it that's causing you to be angry? And with this particular situation, I feel like I've had pathways in my head that's directly going to, it's just an automatic response right now of, oh, Remington's working late. Gosh, he works so much. He works too much, you know, or just like, oh, Remington's on a business trip. Oh, woe is me. The whole world is crashing down, right? Those were automatic pathways that I put in my head, and I have to rewrite them. I have to stop the thoughts and, one, accept that that's what's going through my head, because we talked about this last time, resisting the thoughts that are happening, resisting the feelings, it's going to make it worse. You're putting up dukes and they're going to put them right back up with you. So just say, okay, you're feeling this way. Why are you feeling this way? Okay, but you don't have to feel that way. This is the story you're telling yourself, but that story is not necessarily true, right? And trying to remind myself that I am capable and I am competent and he loves his family and he loves me. And he's working for us, right? And It's just rewriting those pathways and reminding myself every day of those pathways and reminding myself that, hey, even if he is working, that doesn't mean I have to be miserable. I am a great person all by myself. And that's just kind of the things that I've been doing. I write down affirmations and I journal a lot. I write down my gratitude and I do parts work. I think to myself and I try and listen to that inner spirit inside of me of saying, hey, this is how you feel. Why do you feel that way? It's okay that you feel that way, but why do you feel that way? And once I get through that part in that portion, it's like, okay, well, now, Alyssa, like, you don't have to be that way anymore. You don't have to feel that way anymore. You can choose to feel something different. And it's a repetition of these things because it doesn't just go away. And I want our listeners to know that most of the lessons that we're learning in this podcast, it's repetition that's going to get it into your heart and get it into a habit. Because I will tell you, when I started this journey, I had to basically turn my negative thoughts to positive thoughts. And I had to repeat them over and over and over and over again because I would constantly be battling these negative thoughts, right? And I'd have to go through this process over, and I still do. I still have to go through this process almost on a daily basis of just over and over again telling myself that what I'm feeling is okay, but I don't have to feel that way. And accepting and redirecting is just like a constant process. And it has to be repeated because otherwise you're not going to make progress, right? If you just do it once and then the next time it comes up, you're just like, put your hands up and like, ah, see, it doesn't work. Well, you got to do it over and over again. It's got to be an intentional thing that you're constantly thinking about and constantly trying to improve on.
Well, you are what, 30? 30 years old?
I'm 31 now.
31? You've had a mm-hmm. lot of years of unconsciously feeding a part of you.
Yeah.
And to think that just because we have an aha, I see what's going on, doesn't mean we're in the clear. It means we've got to really focus consciously, deliberately to get it into a cellular, molecular, quantum level, something different. We've got to reprogram ourselves in a way. And it doesn't take 30 years. Well, actually, it's going to be the rest of your life, really. But we've fed ourselves one meal, so now we feed ourselves something else. But it's a conscious daily endeavor to shift it. And when we do find ourselves having those automatic other thoughts coming up, we don't panic. They're there. They're not just going to go away. We acknowledge them. Here's one I had. Every time I've been up in front of thousands of people. And every time I'd go up in front of a new group, I had this thought, who's going to listen to me? Now, I've had thousands of people that have, but it was a recurring theme. I was scared, unsure, all this stuff going on. And, you know, people say, well, why would you think that? You have all these people. Yeah, but I've never been in front of these people. So who's going to listen to me? It was a funny thing, though, when I would ground, I'd prepare myself. And once the thing started, I forgot all of that because I got out of my own way. I wasn't about me anymore. I was about them. So I didn't worry about it. And it all just sort of happened naturally. It wasn't easy. But my point is, these don't go away. But when they come up, you know, like if this comes up again with Remington, ask yourself, what am I thinking? And tap into, what's my fear? What's my fear here? That I'm going to be overwhelmed, that I'm going to be lonely, that I'm going to be this, that. And then in that you say, is that true? And the truth of the matter is you don't know. And it's okay to not know. So let's just go find out. And then if you find yourself alone to the point where it's not working, then what do you do? Well, maybe you talk to Remington. And you know, there is a time where we do so much with ourselves, but we may admit it's not working this way or not working this way. We talk to the other person and we say something, but without an expectation that they're going to go, oh, okay. No, they may have some things they want to say too. So anyway, I just want to say that's a great example. Cause I mean, we all go through it with our spouses, and I mean spouses for me. More than one, all of them learning experiences. But
I did want to touch on, you said that people will find every excuse not to believe. in this because it's a hard pill to swallow. But I love the expression that whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it, especially in this day and age. Just like if you're trying to prove something, you will probably find a study that proves it because there's always something that's going, if you're looking for the bad, if you're looking for a reason to not listen or to not believe what we're saying, you'll find it. But what if you challenged that and you wanted to find a reason to believe in it, right? And I wanted to talk about, you mentioned way earlier about the corporate guy, we're going to hold people accountable. I think there's a difference, or not a difference, but in the corporate world, it is a blame thing. But I'm trying to teach, as a mother, I'm trying to teach my kids responsibility and taking responsibility for your actions. Oh, you spilled something? Okay, well, I need you to be responsible and clean that up, right? And they made you mad? Okay, I understand that you're mad, but you need to take responsibility for the fact that you were a part of that and you can decide not to get upset about your brother singing. It's going to be fine, right? You can take responsibility for your own emotions. But I wanted to just kind of like counteract that whole accountability in the business world with being responsible as a person. Right.
Well, that would be true. That principle would be true in the business world, too. It's just that if I'm a boss and something goes wrong, I get to be accountable. I mean, to say I can hold somebody accountable, I'm not. I don't have that power. And you really can't hold, you can teach responsibility, but to hold them responsible, that implies you have power over them. And you don't, you have influence. So it's the same principle. If we blame or that, there's nothing to be learned. Now, if a boss said to me, what would be the responsible way to deal with it? Okay, he's letting me learn. But that's different. They're not controlling me. They would be asking me, what do I see as a solution to this? And I'm going to be learning. So the principle to me of accountability, or love, of gratitude is the same everywhere. There's different applications of it in the home office.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
So I'll tell you, some mornings I wake up and I think to myself, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be responsible for my happiness. It's hard. And my question to you, Michael, is what do you do when you have moments like that where you're just like, okay, I don't want to be responsible for my happiness today. I want somebody else to make me happy.
Well, if you think being responsible for your happiness is hard, try letting someone else be responsible for it. See how hard that is, because they don't care in a lot of ways. They do, but they don't. What I do, I have a routine in the morning and I get up. Then I typically turn on YouTube meditation videos. And I've got two books in particular I'm reading right now. So I, first of all, read, and this is not like, I'm not reading Shakespeare, you know, or John Grisham. I'm reading books that I feel feed my spirit. And then I will consciously, after I'm done, I read until I feel like I've gotten what I'm looking for. Then I will consciously visualize for at least 10 minutes, and which that is a challenge, to keep your focus on what you visualize your life being. But that starts me off being grounded. Then sometimes I have a rower and a couple of other exercise equipment. I'll go in and I'll get myself moving to, you know, action, an action of some sort, a productive action, a forward moving action. A lot of times that helps shift our mood. And then I do a little tapping. Do you know what tapping is?
Oh gosh, I had a therapist have me do tapping when I was just, I don't know, like a year ago. Yeah, he would have me tap my chest and different parts of my face and my head, depending on what parts of my body were feeling that energy that I was feeling.
Yeah, so I do that. And this is the more of the weird stuff. I get my chakras spinning.
How do you do that?
Oh, there's exercises. An easy way is, if you believe you have energy portals in your hands, typically we'll start up here at the crown. And I move my hand around clockwise. If I was a clock facing out, I go clockwise 7 times. And then I do my ajna, You know what the ajna is? Third eye. And then I do my throat, heart, sacral, and then my lower chakras, the root chakra. I can't remember what the other one's called. Those things seem to create a clearing for me to have more clarity and embrace the day more productively. And actually, one of the things they do is they stimulate the thought that aligns with the vision you would want. A lot of times when we wake up and it's like, sometimes it's because we're tired, but what's your vision? Do you have a vision statement, a purpose statement? And I do, and I remind myself of that over and over and over again. A few other affirmations that I make. I mean, I believe words have energy, thoughts have energy. And so when I'm engaging in those things, and I specify engaging versus doing. Doing is going through the motions. Engaging is feeling it and doing all I can to embrace it. I find I have a different outlook on the day.
No, yeah, I have my own morning routine, but there are some days when I get to bed late and I wake up, I don't want to do it. I'm exhausted, right? And there are just some times when I'm just like, this is just so hard. But it's usually the days that I don't do my meditation and my morning routine that I feel like that I feel funky.
Yeah. And so it's reminding ourselves the price I pay.
For some extra sleep or, just for my laziness, really. It's the price I pay for my laziness of just like not doing that.
Well, think about this, though. When somebody's lazy, why do you think they're lazy? In my experience, and I've experienced this with kids, I used to go out and train at a boarding school in Oregon. And there's one kid, they kept saying he was lazy, 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 lazy. Well, I'll tell you why he was lazy. He wasn't lazy. He felt he had no purpose. He'd been told all his life he's a fat slob, he's no good, he's never going to go anywhere. So why would he do anything? Why would he get up and go, I'm taking on the day? Doesn't mean he can't. But when we find we're lazy, I find it's when I've lost sight of my purpose. I feel like, there is something written that says where there is no vision, my people perish. Maybe not literally die, but they die of vision and become slothful and lazy because they don't see a purpose in anything. So that's why connecting to some sort of purpose, and it doesn't have to be like, I have a statement. It's a statement, but not everybody does, not everybody has to. But what if I were to ask you, what's your purpose with your children? What's your purpose with, your husband or your wife or whatever? And just do a little visualization while you're in bed of that and ask yourself, and I'm not just saying this to you, I'm saying it to me and anybody, does my laziness support that? If the answer is no, then okay, what do I got to do to shift this? But we're lazy when we see no purpose. You ever felt like really excited and really pumped to go somewhere and to get something and you just can't wait and you just want to do everything you can? It's because you have a vision and the vision connects with something in you that energizes you. My nephew just completed the Ironman triathlon in Arizona and he's 30, I think. But he's prepared 14 months, every day for 14 months. He gets up and he runs 6 miles and he bicycles this and he does this for 14 months. And it was yesterday or 2 days ago, he was in the Ironman triathlon and he finished. And why? Because he had a vision. And even though he was in intense pain, could barely walk, he finished. Now, what causes somebody to do that? What causes somebody to get out of bed? You ever had those days where you just get up and it's 4 o'clock and like, I'm ready to go? That's because you're probably connected to a vision. And it's when we get disconnected or we don't see a point. You look at your children day after day, you probably do a lot of the same things. And sometimes, what's the point? Well, what is the point?
Michael, this is great. This is great. This is something that I think that a lot of women and mothers need to hear, because this was me and is me sometimes. Is I wake up and I'm like, what's the point? What am I doing? Right. My kids are out of school right now and I wake up and I'm just like, well, guess we're gonna clean the house today, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know, I don't have a purpose, you know, sometimes, at least that's how I feel. And I forget that, no, I do have a purpose. I have a purpose to take care of my children, to teach them what's right, to lead them and guide them. And, you know, that's a big purpose. And sometimes I don't always see that vision of that, of the, there's no finishing line with kids, but who I want them to be. When I wake up in the morning and I'm exhausted, I've been up with a baby, or, you know, it's 6 o'clock and that's early. And I think to myself, oh, I really don't want to. I don't think about the vision. I don't think that's what happens, is that I stop thinking about the why behind what I'm doing. And I think that most mothers, there are some mothers out there that are the exception, that just, they're super moms and they just know it and they feel it. And they're like, you know, I love being a mom every day, always. But that's not me.
But you don't know what goes on behind closed doors there either. So
I'm just saying, I know there's somebody out there that's shaking their head like, how could you forget how important and special your children are? Right.
But see, the thing about your purpose and vision, nobody can tell you what it is. Only you can discover that. For somebody to say, of course you have a vision. It's this, 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 and this. Well, maybe that's their vision. But that's their vision. I can't tell you what your vision is. Remington can't. Your children can't. It's something that you got to go away inside and really reach in and pull it out and see it and get it. You know, and it's more than just, like, I have a statement, but that statement, if I just repeat it every day, my purpose in life means nothing. I've got to embrace it. I've got to feel it at every element of me. And then when we do that, we naturally do what we're being. So when you embrace that, you know, your purpose, part of your purpose could be singing, sharing your gift of a voice. I'm not saying it is. So to have that and raise children and be a wife, it's not about balance. I'm going to tell you, I have felt balance is a concept that, you know, if you go listen to an orchestra, they have somebody with the cymbals. You don't hear them all the time. Because we got to have balance. So we're here in this tender part. Come in. No, it's about harmony. It's creating a harmony. So these things are all working together. That the things you get to do, you do in their time, but it doesn't mean you devote 2 hours to this and 2 hours to this. You know, come on, kids. This is our hour. Come on, let's have fun. Why aren't you having fun, kids? We only have 45 minutes left for fun. No, it doesn't work like that. It's you know, that's where you're trying to balance everything. You're like spinning plates. I don't know if you're old enough to remember those old shows. No, it's creating a harmony. It's creating an orchestra, a symphony, so that everything is moving in harmony with each other, and it's all working. When you hear that in an orchestra, believe it or not, it has an effect on us, because it's harmony, and our bodies and our spirit crave harmony. So whatever that is for you, you know, if you say, you know, you look at what Remington's doing and, oh, well, that's not going to work. Well, you work on, how do we create harmony with this so that it all flows and it's natural and it works. That's something I can't tell you because I get to work on it myself. But when I've seen people struggle with, I need balance. If I work 40 hours a week, I've got to do this for 2 hours at home and this for 2 hours. And does end up being a forced, let's all get together, and it's forced. And nobody wants to do it. Why not? Because nobody's having fun. Why not? Because it's not harmonic. It's balanced. So nobody can tell you what your purpose is. You get to discover that and trust that whatever it is, if you follow it, things will work.
I like that. Yeah. I think a big part of achieving that is just being present. I get caught up in my thoughts a lot. There are so many times when my kids will be like calling my name a couple of times and I'm like, what? What do you want? You know, and I don't realize that I was just caught up in what's going on in my head until afterwards. And I was like, oh, I was probably not paying attention. I wasn't in the moment with my kids, or I wasn't in the moment doing what I'm doing. And I feel like that's part of the harmony, is just, you may not have those 2 hours every day, or you may not be able to dedicate that time, but when you do have that time, you are there, you are present, you are doing everything you can to be in the moment so that you make it worth it, right? And that is a skill that I'm really trying to learn, to calm my thoughts, still my mind, and just be present, be in the moment, and allow the beauty of the world and what's happening to unfold and enjoy it, right?
Consider what you're doing with your children as service, because when we're engaging in service, the body actually releases endorphins, the happy endorphins, that are far more powerful than any antidepressant. I used to go to do service projects. I think I mentioned this. And I did things that if my dad asked me to do them at home, I'd resent it. But going and doing a service project, somehow I came home going, that was fun.
I really loved this podcast today. I learned a lot, actually. And I'm super grateful for your experience and your knowledge that you bring into this, because I feel like I'm learning almost as much as the people who may be listening. These concepts are not super new to me, but I feel like I learn something every time we get together, and I love it. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your experience with me and this podcast.
You're welcome. And, you know, I'm learning too. Yeah, I'm remembering a lot of things I'd forgotten that I'd trained.
That's a thing. I feel like this this podcast is a way for me to kind of reiterate some of the things that I've been learning, to really solidify the changes that I want to make and remind me of why I wanted to do this journey in the first place. And so doing this, you know, as often as we do it is super helpful for me, because it keeps me on the right track. It reminds me that, oh, I do have a purpose, and it reminds me, like, this does matter and this is what you're learning. Do you remember when you learned this? Yeah, you should be doing that, right? So I love it. This is great.
Well, don't shit on yourself. So
I know. Stop shitting yourself.
We're really learning at a greater level too. Wherever we are, you know, we're moving forward, I feel, in this. So thank you.
And we want to thank our listeners for tuning in today. We hope that you got as much out of this podcast as we did. If you liked this episode, please go ahead and hit the follow or subscribe button and share it with friends, family, somebody who maybe needs to hear what we've talked about on this episode. And be sure to check us out on social media. We have Facebook and Instagram. It's You Already Are Podcast. We love to hear from our listeners and get feedback on what we could improve on and things you guys want us to talk about. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on You Already Are. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire, and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.